105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Half past five, Cambridge 105, and I'm joined by Tim Armitage from the Terraces. Tim, stop playing with the phone.
I was just thinking about the Nick Clegg thing, but...
No, but I'm not allowed to comment on the news.
Exactly.
However we might want to. Jez George has been given a new role at Cambridge United. The director of football is now the club's chief executive. A key part of the club's operations has been the academy, and when Tim caught up with Jez at last night's match, it was under-19s?
No, under-21s.
Under-21s, OK. How did they win, by the way?
No, it was a one-all draw.
Oh, dear. Started by asking Jez how the academy has been built into such a successful operation in a short space of time. The answer, he said, was about building a good back-office team and starting to get some talented youngsters through the system.
A number of our young players played against Chelsea, and we went to their plush new training ground and, you know, thought back to 8 years ago when, with no disrespect to these clubs, but we were playing the Ketterings and the Bostons and the Histons. And, you know, we're now, last weekend they played Liverpool, this weekend they're playing Chelsea. It's unbelievable. But it's, you know, Tom Pell's been here for that whole process as well. But we've added some real quality staff as we've gone, you know, the likes of Mark Bonner and Matt Walker and Mark Tracy. Martin Davis have all played their part, and now with the formation of, you know, the EPPP requirements, people like Stephen Payne and Tom Donati and Adam Bridgeford, you know, they just continue along those same lines. So it's really a philosophy of how to develop players, and a work ethic that is prevalent in the staff and in those players. And you know, there's a lot of good talent beneath the surface, if you like, at age groups that people won't have seen yet, that, you know, hold the club in good stead for the next few years, I think.
And as you say, you're chasing EPPP accreditation, which comes with a pot of money as well. What kind of a difference will that make to the running of the academy?
Well, the pot of money is dependent on us employing a lot more staff, and that's something that we've had to do already. And then there's a huge demand in terms of facilities and in terms of contact hours. So the bar's really raised by EPPP, and that's exactly what it should do, because it's there to make sure that clubs are fully committed and are spending money in the right way to make sure that the primary aim is to develop young players. So I think it will just give us a security that we've never had. You know, we've had to battle, fight, scrap to be alive, really, for a big part of that 8 years. And there's been times where, really, you know, we shouldn't have been able to survive, and people continually from bigger clubs ask us how we do it or how did we do it for no money. And again, it was because of a lot of goodwill and lots of fundraising and a bit of a hand-to-mouth existence. So the biggest thing I think it will give us is a security that if we pass that accreditation, it's a three-year licence. We know we've got funding in place for 3 years, but we also know we've got compensation rights for all of our players and a games programme. So it gives the whole scheme credibility and some security and certainty that we haven't had in the last 8 years.
And we followed Yas last year on the Mission 676 walk, and tonight we're again with Crystal Palace, which is the first of a number of events under the Mission 676 banner. And you're about to announce, I think, a new director of the Youth and Community Trust. Where do you see that going over this year, and what's the potential for that?
Yeah, we're going to announce a trust manager back end of this week or beginning of next week. We just see that the trust is the arm of the club that is the conscience of the club, if you like, in terms of going and playing a real part and doing good work within our community. So it's the club saying, really, that, yeah, we are a professional football club. People come to our stadium to enjoy the first team. There's lots of kids involved in our youth development programme with the aspiration of playing in the first team. But the status the club has in the city is also one that can help a lot of people in all different cross-sections of the community that might have nothing to do with football, but Cambridge United can play a part. And I think Mission 676 was a really good project to galvanise support and for us to be able to articulate our vision, really. And now... the person who comes in is going to have to implement that vision and work really hard with partners and, you know, with local authorities and with those sponsors and with companies and with the club to make sure that message gets, you know, heard loudly by a number of people and that we can really impact the lives of, you know, not just youngsters but people across the whole community.
And the board announced this week that you'd been moved on to the chief executive role within the club. What exactly is that role, and what are your immediate plans for executing on it?
Well, the role is running the club from a day-to-day basis and reporting into the board. Dave Doggett's obviously played a massive role in where we are today, you know, especially in that last 18 months. Lots of people have played a role in getting the club to that point. But just as Richard's been the catalyst on the pitch, I think Dave has off the pitch. But we've now, you know, moved to a level of professional football in terms of League Two, where the demands on the club are far greater. And for us to grow and develop as a football club, I think we need to grow and develop off the pitch as well as on the pitch. You know, the two are going to be, as I said, intrinsically linked. You know, we can only spend what we can generate. So, listen, I think evolution is always best, and nothing's going to happen really, really quickly. But we've got to make sure that we're always making strides to take the club forward, and there's lots of challenges ahead in terms of the stadium and in terms of facilities. But just as we did with the youth system, what we have to do is maximise what we can do at any moment in time. So whilst we're hamstrung by facilities at the minute, we've still got to make the most of them. We've still got to find ways of generating money, and they might have to be a little bit outside the box in terms of thinking to grow the club. But we've also got to make sure that the most important thing is we set the club up properly for the next generation of supporters as and when that opportunity arises, and that's really making sure that the whole process with the stadium and the sporting village and the future of the club is driven by a vision that the club has.
That's brilliant. Thanks very much, Jez.
No problem.
Tim, that was an interesting interview with Jez George on lots of levels, really. I don't think I've actually ever heard him give such eloquent answers before. I wonder if the change from being director of football to chief executive has affected his speech.
Yeah, no. He's got to take on more of the mantle of the club. I mean, it was a bit more relaxing for him yesterday because it wasn't a proper game. It wasn't a first team game. So although he was running around a lot, I think he was relaxing a little bit more than he normally does, because he's obviously normally very busy on match day. So
it was an interesting release which came out, I think, on Monday from Cambridge United announcing his appointment as chief executive. And normally when you get one of things, it's, you know, there's the headline and it's, you know, so-and-so has been appointed to run this. And actually, it read very much like a statement from the board. And it was only, I think, in the last couple of paragraphs that they mentioned that it was Jez who had got the job there. And I do wonder about, you know, the task that he's got in front of him now.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't unfortunately get a huge amount of time to talk about it, but it is obviously a big change from, you know, from where he's at the moment, where his responsibility is the footballing side of it, outside of obviously the coaching piece, and he's still got a massive hand in the youth work and everything. The board must obviously be confident that you know, the commercial side of it is something that he's going to do well with, and it is an exciting time for the club as we move forward in League Two. And see where we're going to be in sort of
and it's very unusual, I think, to get somebody who's come from the football side to take on that role. I knew Ian Eyre briefly in the 90s. He was he's now the CEO of Liverpool. Yeah. I knew him when he was a salesman, effectively. Yeah. And he was selling electronic set-top boxes, the kind of thing that goes with the TV to get the digital channels. He was working for Pace, still one of the bigger firms in that, and went on to Huddersfield and then on to Liverpool, which is, I guess, a reasonable route. He was kind of helped by the fact that the guy who owned the electronics firm then bought Huddersfield, but it was still a route for him. Jez's route is very much from the football side, and you could tell with the enthusiasm that he was talking about the academy at the start of the interview.
Yeah, he's hugely passionate about the football, particularly about youth development. I mean, he, you know, as the bit that we missed out from the very start of the interview, because he was integral in setting up the youth scheme, because it had been abandoned through lack of finances when we went through the bad times. So he, you know, he is really you know, the person who's made it what it is, along with, you know, as he says, a number of other staff and plenty of enthusiasm. Of course, he was first team manager for a while before Richard joined. So he's hugely passionate about the football. He obviously wanted it; otherwise, he wouldn't have taken it. The board are obviously confident that the commercial side is going to be no problem for him.
And there was the double challenge, isn't there, both on and off the field. On the field, of course, winning and continuing to win games, and off the field, of course, to get the finances to run all the extra commitments needed by being in the higher division.
Yeah, and it's difficult, and the EPP accreditation will come with a pot of money, but as Jez said, part of the thing you have to do to get the EPP accreditation is take more staff on, so it kind of gets rid of the money at the same time. The Youth and Community Trust, they've announced a director. I think they're going to be named sometime towards the end of this week.
Do we know who it is?
No, not at the moment.
They're likely to be an internal promotion again, or somebody from outside?
I hear it's someone from outside, but I don't know.
Okay.
So they'll take on the Youth and Community Trust and continue the work that Jez did, you know, has done so well over the years, including the Mission 676 walk last season. The difficulty is it's chicken and egg. You know, you can only spend a certain amount of your revenue on direct player related costs, and your revenue mostly comes from match day revenue. So you need to get a bigger crowd. To get the bigger crowd, you need to get the better results. You need to move up the league. It's a difficult thing because you need the money before you can move up the league and start to bring in, you know, potentially players from outside. Although I have to say we've done fantastically well, you know, on the budget we've got, which is one of the lowest in the leagues, if not the lowest, in bringing the right players in to do the job.
But there's been injury after injury, hasn't there?
Yeah, we've been. It's just one of those things. I mean, you know, you can never account for that. But as Richard keeps saying, you just have to go with what you've got. And you could sit there and moan about the injuries, or you could get on with what you've got and bring some youngsters through. And you know, this year we've seen people like Bobby Joe Taylor and Liam Hurst who've come through. And Bobby Joe Taylor was in the under 21 game last night and actually scored the equalising goal. You know, both of them have turned out to be you know, a massive find for us this year. And you know, they've got a lot of developing to do. But Rich is not afraid to throw them on at the end of the game, and they've both made significant contributions to the performance.
And the objective, I guess, to bring them through the academy and into the first team.
Yeah, I mean, a twin objective. You want to get the players, you know, that you can bring through as quickly as possible, you know, without spoiling their development, to get them into the first team to strengthen the squad and give you a bit more depth. And you know, hopefully some of these players, you know, will move on in their careers, potentially beyond Cambridge. Take Luke Berry as a classic example. Came through the academy system, and has you know, moved on to Barnsley and made some money for the club in the process.
Which is obviously needed. Okay, Tim, we'll hang around. I know you can stay with us for a little while longer. We'll do the travel, play some music, and then we'll talk a little bit about Cambridge City and Histon, who are kind of sandwiched between two evening games from both of those. 9 minutes away from 6 o'clock, I've got Tim Armitage here from Cambridge 105's From the Terraces programme. We were talking, first of all, about Cambridge United, Tim, but we're kind of sandwiched here between two games involving the other clubs. Last night, Chesham versus Histon, and poor old Histon. They're right at the bottom of the table still, aren't they?
Yeah, they're having a torrid time of it at the moment. It's interesting, you go and watch them, and sometimes they look good and sometimes they look woeful, and it's, you're not quite sure what's going to turn up.
And what's causing that? Obviously, they let go a whole load of players, I think, at the end of last season because of well-documented difficulties.
Yeah, I mean, I think that certainly doesn't help when you lose a large proportion of the team. I think from the games that I've seen, it's a lack of a strike force, although they're starting to get a couple of people in there now who are at least scoring goals. But you know, if you don't score the goals, you can't possibly win a game. It's an old cliche, but it's true. And they're conceding a lot of goals and scoring very few, which means generally you're going to lose the games. And they, you know, as you say, they've won one, drawn three, but lost eight. And they're only on 6 points, already two behind Arlesey, and a further two behind Banbury. But to be fair to them, if you look at the people they've played, they have played the majority of the top half of the table. So, you know, they've got some interesting games that are going to tell us a lot coming up, because they've got a couple of games against some of the bottom, you know, some of the bottom dwellers with them. So they've got Arlesey coming up, they've got Biggleswade coming up, they've got Hungerford coming up. Although Hungerford are in the top, but Biggleswade and Arlesey will be two interesting games. Arlesey, a very early season 6-pointer, but yeah, it's, you know, it must be a bit depressing at the Glassworld, or at least half of the Glassworld, I guess.
So the other half is playing tonight, of course. Cambridge City have got Biggleswade Town lined up. What are the prospects for that one?
Well, you'd say on paper they should win that game, but then we've said on paper they should have won the last few games. I think I kind of think they had the stuffing knocked out of them a bit when they lost to Needham Market in the FA Cup, and they've been on a 3-game losing streak since then. So it'll be interesting to see if they can turn it round. I'm going down there later on tonight, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. But again, you know, on paper it should be a game they can win. Biggleswade are sort of like lower top of the lower third of the league, but Cambridge, I think, you know, I mean, at one stage they were up in fourth place, so you know they should be, but you know, again, they need to just snap out of this losing streak, and you know, they need to do it soon.
Okay, your banquet from the terraces on Sunday. Special guest as well in the studio.
You've got two special guests. We've got Dave Doggett, chair of the of Cambridge United. So we'll be talking about various things, including the chief exec appointment and other bits and pieces. And we've got Andy Dunn, press officer at Cambridge City, and we'll be talking about the stadium. And now they've got planning permission. Where they go from there?
Oh, that's very interesting. So 6 o'clock on Sunday, Cambridge 105.
Yep,
thank you. Thanks very much indeed,
no
Tim.